Okay. Thank you, Tim. It's a blessing to hear the Lord through you. And Matt, 2 weeks ago, Father's Day. So it's a great privilege to hear young men, young to me, young men loving the Lord and teaching. It's really good. We're blessed because of that. It's really a blessing. And Tim doesn't know, but on let's just say Monday of this past week, the Lord just really impressed something upon me. And we're going to break bread here in a little bit. And this is going to be an unusual exhortation for communion, what I'm going to give. But it's what the Lord laid on my heart. I wasn't looking for this, but on Monday, and laid something on my heart that came with a bit of fear and alert, you know, like a cry to be alert. And stuff, and that's what I want to share about, because throughout the week it's come up again and again and again. And Tim's sharing today is along the same line. And I want us to turn to Psalm 12. And I'm just going to follow a theme through a couple scriptures, and then we'll talk about our opportunity to break bread together. So in Psalm 12, it's a short psalm of David as he struggled with certain things that were going on around him. And see if you can see the parallel here to what Tim spoke to us as well. Verse 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." I could add this word just for clarity. "The others speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a doubled heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own, and who is Lord over us?" And then verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord." So in verse 1, we have David's cry, and he says, "Oh God, where are the faithful men and women? Where are they? Because they're failing. They're disappearing. Where are the faithful in the land?" And this is what came to me. It was actually that verse. But here's what's behind it, is that I believe that all around the world, but especially in the United States of America, there is a sifting going on. And God is allowing this sifting to go on. My mind races to Matthew 25 about the parable of the 10 virgins, of which only 5 were ready to meet the Lord. I believe right now that there is a sifting going on in this country and in God's church in America. And not everyone is going to make it who is in the church today. And I'm not necessarily specifically talking here, but there is a sifting. Young people, parents, believe me, your children's lives, eternal life is at stake. There is a sifting going on that we have never seen before. We have never faced before as a nation. There is a sifting going on. And Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And your children are those victims. And you also are the victim. It says in Revelation that because you were lukewarm, I will spew you out of our mouths. And I could turn us to numerous parables that would say the same thing, as I already said about Matthew 25, the first 13 verses. We could go to the end of Matthew 25. There's 3 parables in there, and it's a separating of the sheep and the goats. And in between is the parable of the talents, about who's applying themselves in the things of the kingdom. There is a sifting going on, and the days are not days as usual. We need to take inventory of our lives and where we're giving ourselves, as Tim has said, about loving the world. We might not look at it that way. The world is as wicked or more wicked than it's ever been. And all that we do, we're always in the world. And it's very hard for that not to come in to our lives. There is a sifting going on. We're either at war against it or we're going with it. We need to stand up. And I need to stand up and guard myself. And you see the church slipping, 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 slipping. More liberal, more liberal, more liberal. This is our anchor. This does not change. There might be newer versions than the old King James Version. That's fine. I don't care what version necessarily you read. It's obeying what's in these pages, and it's knowing what's in these pages. If I look at your Bible, I can tell whether or not you're reading this Bible. I'll know how much you know the Bible by looking at your Bible. Is it used? You might have just bought a new one. This is a newer one. But you ought to see the other one of it. You know what I'm saying? This is our anchor. God does not change. He doesn't change. He doesn't get transitioned according to the culture of this world. But this is the lie that's coming out. And if someone will tell a lie enough, the people will believe it. And the world has this amazing ability to so move the boundaries, ridiculously moving the boundaries, so that which was wrong yesterday, and we knew it was wrong yesterday, because they've moved the boundary to here, this doesn't look so bad today. So premarital sex, that doesn't look like anything anymore. That's not even the question anymore. It's how old the person was in the act. Were they 14 years old? Or, you know, were they legal age? It doesn't matter that they did it. It's that, it's what were the age? And that will eventually get moved. It doesn't matter anymore if adultery is taking place. It doesn't matter anymore. It's, well, it's common today. It doesn't matter that a man would marry a man anymore. It's that we don't know who they are. We don't know if we're men or women. We have no. We can't look at genetics. We can't look at biology to see whether or not we're men or women. We can't do that anymore. It's the ridiculous point. And so there, I've mentioned this before, and so there's a man. Well, he's not a man. Sorry. He's a female cat in a man's body. And he wants the same rights as anybody else because he can't help the fact that he is a female cat happening to be living within a man's body. So he's gone through all these surgeries to change himself. And so that looks ridiculous. So now a man with a man doesn't look so ridiculous. See how subtle the line gets moved so that that which is wrong all of a sudden doesn't look so wrong and people buy into it all the time. They over flood it all with the word love. And so turn with me to Revelation 16. Revelation 16, and we're going to read starting in verse 13. Revelation 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Again, I don't know how you view Revelation. We're in the book of Revelation. We're going through it line by line on Sundays, some of the times at least. But I don't see it literally. It says in the beginning that it's signed to us. It's by signage. It's giving us examples. John's trying to put into English something that he can't get his arms around. So there's types, and we look at it that way. And I also believe that it's somewhat circular. The mind is that it's happened and it's happening again and it's happening again. It's for every age of the church. These things are applicable, and so we see this sixth. Bowl or this sixth vial being poured out. And he said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Isn't that interesting? Now let me ask you, how does a frog catch its prey? What does it use to get its meal? What? Its tongue. So what do you think's going on here? Something, these frogs are blabbering, 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 blabbering. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. This isn't sin, this isn't sin. In fact, there is no sin. All we got to do is love one another, love one another, love one another. Don't be judgmental, don't be judgmental, don't be judgmental. Accept everything, accept everything, accept everything. So he sees, as it were, and we can say in these days, he sees three unclean frogs come up out of, or three unclean spirits like frogs come up out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's three frogs. There's three birthplaces of this going on. And one, he said, of course, it's the dragon. He's exposed right away. It's Satan. It's the beast, that which I believe Tim talked about this morning, the spirit of the world, the Antichrist, which John said, if we'd read a couple more verses, he said the Antichrist, there's many of them already in the world. It's not some end time we're looking for. The spirit that hates Christ is in the world, and it is expanding in the world. It is the beast who is replicating, mirroring the dragon who hates the Christ child. And so the second one to me is just the spirit of the world. The third thing is the false prophet. There is a movement going on throughout the world, and especially in America, of the false churches. And some of them have the name evangelical on them, or Christian on them, or Bethel on them, or whatever. Regardless, there is a moving going on where the churches are accepting everything. So here it says again, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils. They work miracles. They go forth unto the kings of the earth. So they look good. They look reputable. And unto the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of Almighty God. And I want to put this in present tense, that your soul is in a great battle. The souls of your children are in a great battle, not sometime in the future, right now today, because I believe there is a sifting going on. And the decisions you and I make today and Monday, there's a sifting. If I don't start or continue to order my life in a godly way, and as the things that Tim warned us and spoke to us about, in this way, there is a sifting going on. I bring danger into my soul, unto the great day of the Almighty. And I say that as because of these verses here, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. It's all about sanctification in a sense. It's the choices we make. Do you not know that you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body, with our souls. Let's glorify God. So it's this daily choosing. And I could turn to, I had nine other verses besides these that we could have gone to. That we could have turned and looked at it. In the last days there shall be scoffers, right? Unless there be a great falling away in the last days. And on, there was nine different verses that I could have gone to, and I just want us to close in Matthew 24. We'll pick up just two verses there. Matthew 24, verse 12. We'll read 11. Matthew 24, verse 11, talking about the end days. And verse 11 of Matthew 24, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity or lawlessness or looseness, where there are no boundaries, where anything goes, if that isn't today, then I'm really wrong. But because of this spirit of lawlessness, iniquity, looseness, because it shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's them in the church shall wax cold because of this looseness. We need to stand up for Jesus. And in verse 42 of the same chapter, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So there's my challenge. And again, I say that came just a great burden on my soul for the church, for us here, for myself, for those I know. I can smell it. I can see it in my spirit. There is a sifting. There's always been a sifting, but something has happened that is accelerating a sifting. And it may be an eternal sifting going on right now in our lives. Right now, this is, you know, I'm reluctant to say it, but this is a warning. You know, just as what Tim said. And warnings come because God loves us. So Tim doesn't let his kids play on Highway 23. I don't know why. I suppose you love them. You know, they don't make good hood ornaments. So it's a warning. There is a sifting going on. And we really need to pay attention to our souls. that is the greatest thing. The greatest example we can give to our kids is what we do with our bodies, with our time, with our souls. And I'm thinking of the last night when Jesus broke bread with his disciples. He warned them. He said, hey, somebody here is going to betray me. Someone here is going to betray me. Somebody here isn't going to make it. Will you break bread with me? It was on the very night, wasn't it? Paul picks it up in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians on the very night that he was betrayed. This is what he said. I don't want to be one who betrays him. I don't want to be that man. I'm determined not to be that man. By the grace of God, I will not be that man. Nor will you be that woman or that man or that young person. So that's what I'm thinking of. As we break bread, I'm, in a sense, recommitting. I'm redetermining my life to live for Jesus. To take this, that he said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus wasn't casual. Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't wishy-washy on his way to the cross? Because he never would have made it. He never would have been there. Aren't you glad that he was sold out on his, he said, the zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. And I'm going all the way. And having loved his own, he loved them unto the very end. So as we break bread together, I want us to, of course, it says, do this in remembrance of me, but remember how he gave himself for you, for me. How, the rebukes that he took, the shame. We will never understand the humility that he took upon him to become a man. Tells us in the Psalms that he even humbles himself to look into heaven. He humbles himself to be in heaven with angels. He's humbling himself to be with angels and cherubims this morning. Much less to become a man. Much less to be called a thief. Much less to be beaten and stripped and a liar. And then slaughtered for us and taking our sin upon him. We will never know the humility of Christ till we see him in glory. And then we'll have a good idea of it. Might not have all of it. But so as we break bread this morning, this is my challenge, my encouragement. Let's look at our lives. As Tim has spoken, let's look at our lives. Shine the light of God in our hearts. Lord, where am I with you? Is there something in my life that I know shouldn't be there, and I've just been flirting with it because I think I can get away with it? I heard on the radio about a pastor who was meeting with a man in his church because this man had left his wife, was having an affair with another woman from another church, all Christians. And the pastor said, you know, it's sin, it's wrong, you cannot do this. And the man said, yeah, I know you're right. And the pastor said, here's what you need to do. You need to go back to your wife, you need to reconcile with her, get into counseling, get your marriage put back together. That's what you need to do. And the man said, you know what, you're right, but I'm not going to do it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to divorce my wife, I'm going to go with this other woman, I'm going to marry her. And after we're married, and I'm enjoying that life, then I'm going to ask God to forgive me, because he'll forgive me. Something's wrong here, you know. So let's break bread and let's check our hearts. Lord, what is there in my heart that you want to deal with? Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's covetousness. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. But let's let God work in our hearts. And we don't want to be of those who fall back onto perdition. We want to be those who are going on with the Lord. So I'll pray, and then if we can get some people up to help pass out our bread and our grape juice. And Sue, would you do some instruments for us or play something softly on the piano for us? And we'll close. Father, we thank you again for this morning, Lord, for feeding us again, Lord, for challenging us again, for speaking to us, for teaching us this morning, Lord. There is no drought, Lord, of your word to us. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord, this morning for these things. And as we break bread together, Lord, help us to really be able to count what this means to break bread with you. Christ, you are here with us. You're not down or out in heaven looking down upon a people whom you love, but you are here with the people that you love. You are with each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you this morning. Help us to appreciate this breaking of the bread afresh, Lord, and search our hearts and commit ourselves to you. For Jesus' sake we pray, Lord. Have your way amongst us, Lord. Amen. Amen. So, again, if you're willing to commit to the Lord, you know him personally, he's your Savior, then let's break bread together.